Well, have you ever heard of Jimmy Sharman's boxes? I first heard about them, well, through song. On Midnight Oil's Red Sails and the Sunset album, travelling troops of tent boxes going all over Australia, taking on all challenges with their fists. To describe it as brutal would be quite the understatement. A new film, Kid Snow, takes its cues from the legend of Australian tent boxing, filmed around Kalgoorlie and boasting a cast of emerging Aussie talent. Kid Snow hit the local screens last Thursday. Director Paul Goldman joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Well, first, our congratulations on the release of Kid Snow. Tent boxing is a brutal slice of Australian history. What first drew your attention to it?
Yeah, so tent boxing is obviously, there's a lot of folklore attached to it and mythology. It can be brutal, but the thing about tent boxing is that it's kind of carnivalesque as well. It's, I mean, the tent boxers were kind of circus performers. They knew the measure of the opponents that were coming into the tent with them, and they didn't really want to hurt them. It could get brutal and out of hand. My interest was raised by reading a script that John Brumpton, who's an actor that some of your listeners will know and is a screenwriter, and John also had worked in a tent boxing troupe for a while, and I read the script that he'd written from his own personal experience and the characters he'd met, and I just loved the characters. I had wondered why we hadn't seen a film set in that world.
Well, that actually drew me to the next question. When did the practice end in Australia, or hasn't it?
It drew to a close during the 70s because of concerns about the way people were being treated. There was occasional deaths. Of course, back then there was not the kind of OH&S rules and the concern for people. But during the 60s and 70s, most tent boxing troops collapsed. There's one still in Queensland, Brophy's, but Brophy's is more of a theatrical event because they plant members in the audience, and so it's totally controlled and legal. It just became illegal eventually.
I think we sort of glossed over that one there a little bit, Paul. Occasional deaths? That sounds a little bit spooky there.
Well, I think if you're asking, you know, so tent boxing troops would traverse the country from one side to the other, north to south, east to west. There was many of them. They would arrive in country towns on the back of agricultural shows or Easter shows. Sometimes they'd just go and appear, travelling around the country and appear in townships. The locals would front up, and often they would be inebriated and would challenge the tent boxers. So a lot of the guys actually who were travelling with the tent boxers weren't professional boxers. They were just street boxers and street fighters. And as you can imagine, sometimes things got out of hand.
Was there actually much crossover between the sanctioned professional world of boxing and the cash of tent boxing?
Well, I think people probably don't know, but Lionel Rose, who became a world champion, started his very illustrious career as a tent boxer.
No.
And it's true to say that many, many professional boxers back in the day had their first taste of boxing in tent boxing troops. So, and of course, we know that a lot of the boxers who travelled with those tent boxing troops were Indigenous, and they got their first taste of travelling around the country in times gone by where sometimes they just weren't allowed to travel the country, unfortunately.
Well, it was interesting. We were, letting listeners in here in one of our upcoming Planet Perth episodes. This is something we're looking into in terms of a little place here called Ugly Land. A.O. Neville, who I don't know if you're familiar with his disgusting work over in West Australia, it was the start of putting a curfew on Indigenous folks being allowed in the city. It was because of tent boxing, and he didn't like the way that the Aboriginal boxers were tending to take out all comers.
Well, I think as part of my research before I made the film, I spoke to a lot of past Indigenous boxers who are, many of them who are now old men. I met many of them in Kalgoorlie, where we shot some of the film. And it was interesting to talk to them about their wonderful experiences. I mean, there's no doubt that boxing troops exploited Indigenous men and women, because there's often women travelling as cooks and doing other things. And there's no doubt that they were exploited at times. But it was interesting to hear how many of those people spoke about the opportunities they had to travel and the opportunity to see parts of the country they hadn't seen. I mean, I heard from a guy who, when he was 15 years old, was driven from Kalgoorlie to Perth and got on a plane to the East Coast within 24 hours. He'd never been more than 100K from where he lived.
Hopefully he made it back again, yeah?
He did make it back. He had wonderful stories, many of which I can't repeat on air. And wonderful experiences and wonderful friendships born from those times. I mean, it's a tricky time because, obviously, it's, you know, the political correctness of those times is very, very, well, non-existent, I would have thought.
Well, it was just set at a different point, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. And the film tries to capture all that as well.
In researching the film, did you manage to get into a tent and view some of this action yourself?
I didn't, but the tent that's actually in the film is a tent that we found in mothballs. It hadn't actually been taken out of the shed for a dozen years, and it was owned by the other very, very famous tent boxing troop, which was Roy Bell's. And so Roy Bell and Jimmy Sharman's troops are probably two of the most fabled and famous. And through connections, we found that Roy Bell's tent, which was over 100 years old, was sitting in mothballs. And the current owner of it, a guy called Michael Caratiana, who's related to Roy Bell by marriage, set it up for me, and I flew from Melbourne all the way to Dubbo and then got in the car and drove the hundreds of miles to Michael's property, and he'd set the tent up, and he put on a bit of a show for me. There weren't many onlookers, but it was startling to see this thing set up. It was like magic. I arrived at dusk, and the lights were on. And it was like something out of it was just incredible to see, and it felt like it was timeless. It felt like it was something out of a different ancient part of Australian folklore and history. And I remember walking in there and you know, you could have that sense of the blood and the beer and the dust and the sweat that caked this thing.
I was going to say, could you still smell the beer? Was there a bit of blood splatter still around?
Oh yeah! It was magical to walk in there. It just took you back to another time. And Michael had brought a couple of his mates over, and they did a couple of sparring in the tent. And I went, I can imagine this with 200-300 people in here going crazy.
I could imagine it'd be pretty scary for a challenger on the way down.
It would be. So that's, you know, that all that stuff is the background to the film. But really, the film is about two Irish brothers who run the boxing tent and the woman who comes between them. So it's a film that's actually based in the world of boxing and professional boxing as well as tent boxing. But it's about a relationship between two brothers and this woman who stumbles into their orbit, and a lot of drama unfolds.
Well, yes, it's a pretty hurtful betrayal going on, but we'll leave that to people to catch on in the first part of the movie. But yeah, that's it's one very hurtful betrayal. A fantastic movie. I imagine that it's getting some good screenings around Australia.
It's on a lot of screens around Australia. It opened last Thursday. We're getting some very, very good reviews. I think for a lot of people, we used to make a lot of films like this, and we don't make many of them now. We mostly make kind of kitchen sink dramas that are pretty small. Kids Know is very, very epic in terms of its landscape, in terms of the number of characters, in terms of the drama involved. So, you know, it looks great and sounds great on the big screen, and it's everywhere. People will find it in their local cinemas.
Oh, it's a beautiful portrayal of the Kalgoorlie landscape. Paul Goldman, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Record, and good luck with Kid Snow.
Thanks very much. Great to talk.
That's Paul Goldman, director of a new Australian movie out, Kid Snow. I caught it at Lunar Cinemas. I'm sure that's where it's going to be popping up over the next few weeks.